Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Tess.
So what is your initial take on this whole situation?
Well, it only happened 3 hours ago, and it's interesting. I think the way that Japan reacted was entirely appropriate. If you've got a missile flying over your territory, you want to make sure that your local population is aware and actually takes precautions. But it does seem to me that our good friend, the mad North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, is sending a clear message to South Korea and Japan that don't forget me, I mean business, and you know, I'm always here. And I've noticed, actually, you talked about Donald Trump. I had a look at the websites for the New York Times and the Washington Post before you rang, and they've barely picked up on it in terms of reporting it.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so my sense is, because America at the moment is preoccupied with the big hurricane in Texas and a few other things as well, and it's almost like young Kim is saying to Donald Trump and the American administration, "Hey, I'm over here. Don't forget me." it's an attention-seeking grab from him and his regime, but it's also sending a very clear message, as I said, to the countries in the immediate region, particularly Japan, which I think has a lot to fear economically as well as militarily.
So I guess then, do you think that we'll, you know, how do you think the Trump administration will respond if it does eventually come out and make a response? I mean, North Korea is definitely up there on their list of things to talk about.
Well, it's interesting because I think the Trump administration, having ramped up the rhetoric, or the president himself in his tweeting, talking about fire and brimstone and everything else, actually dialed it back quite a lot when it appeared that Kim Jong-un was backing down from his very bellicose stance a few weeks ago. But my advice to the administration, not that they're going to listen to me, is that don't go to dial it up to 11. Keep the response as measured as possible, but make it clear that the allies in the region have your support, and that eventually, I think, though strategically, something has to be done. It does involve China in some way. That's probably the wild card with all of this. It's not a question of how Washington is reacting, it's how Beijing will react.
Yeah, I mean, you know, after the whole fire and fury thing that did come out from President Trump, China was quite quick to stand behind their North Korean ally. Do you think we'll see a shift from the Chinese government regarding any of this situation?
Well, if you go back in history, Tess, I mean, to the Korean War itself, when war broke out in 1950, it looked like South Korea and her allies, especially the US, had it all won. And then China decided to intervene on the side of North Korea and actually almost won the war in reverse before they finally reached a stalemate and then a truce. So really, whatever position China takes is crucial to the outcome of anything on the Korean Peninsula, and certainly anything relating to the long-term survival of the North Korean regime. And my sense is that Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, is probably trying to position China more as an internationalist country than it's ever been since the communist takeover. And North Korea can't rely on an absolute guarantee of Chinese protection, or more to the point, Chinese indifference to getting involved much longer.
And so for all of us down here in Australia, do you think that, you know, this is going to have any major effect on us? I mean, and as well, what do you think we can expect from the Turnbull government?
Well, I think as far as the Turnbull government goes, it has to be measured. I think you have to condemn what North Korea has done yet again, but not to ramp it up too much, not go over the top, but make it clear that this saber rattling, and certainly the threat of not the missile that was fired this morning, but this intercontinental ballistic missile that the North Koreans have been testing and theoretically can reach Darwin and the northern Australia. We have to make it very clear that any threats to the physical security of our region, including Australia, are not taken very not regarded in a way that is friendly, because unfriendly acts deserved unfriendly responses. But too much over-the-top rhetoric I don't think actually helps anybody. It's more quietly working behind the scenes, getting Julie Bishop as the foreign minister to keep in close contact with Washington and Beijing, as well as Seoul and Tokyo, to show solidarity and work with our allies.
Well, Terry, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries, Tess. Thanks very much.